Good morning, I'm Pastor John. If you don't know, if you're new here or you're watching online for the first time, I'm the lead pastor here, our associate's away for missing snowstorms in sunny Florida. I don't know what the deal is about that, but this is Family Sunday, and we're going to continue to be in that vein of family. I don't know what you guys do for family fun. One of the things we do are puzzles. Yeah, we had a game night just recently here on a Friday night a couple weeks ago, and there are all sorts of games going on here. Mark Fernelius right there brought two games of twisted metal that you had to untwist, and I got one of them and not patient enough or probably smart enough for the other one, but and a lot of the games that we played on game night were competitive, right? So you sit around the table, you're playing cards, and you want to win, and whatever other games we had, and even that one, it was, who can do it? Hannah Hawcroft did it. I couldn't do it, even after Mark showed me how to do it. But I'm very competitive. I want to say I'm not competitive, but I'm actually very competitive. That's why I don't like to compete, because I could probably be a sore loser. And I won't, brush the pieces away, although if I'm playing chess, I might do that, but because that's frustrating. But one of the things we can do together that isn't competitive, I'm sure if you're competitive, you could make it that way, are puzzles. Actually, I had a cousin that every time a puzzle box broke out, he grabbed a piece and put it in his pocket. So he got to be the one who put the last piece in the puzzle. So this is a puzzle, one of the puzzles that Diana and I have done, and this is how Diana and I do puzzles. She sets up the card table in the basement, and she gets the puzzle out, and she spends hours doing it, and then she begs me until I'll come down for a couple minutes and join her. That's kind of how we do puzzles in our house, because I'm not really that puzzle. But it's beautiful, but you see all the different color. And one of the things we think about when we're talking about doing puzzles is how you do it, or what's needed to put a puzzle together. So time is one of the things. You have to study. You have to look at those pieces. Sometimes you group them together by color. Now, I talked to somebody recently, maybe it was on game night, and they said they liked a puzzle that's like all blue. I mean, like, that's, a road to the insane asylum right there. I don't know how you do that, but that's how we do. So we group some, there are different kind of hues of blue in here, and we'd group them together and study, and then we'd look at shapes, and somehow, sometimes the way I do it is I look at a particular aspect of a shape, because some of them are quite unusual, and I blank out the picture that's on them, and I just look at shapes until I find a group of them that might fit, and then I go in and try them until I can get one to fit. But it takes time. You have to identify color. You have to apply yourself. You have to group things together, and then one by one, sometimes pieces of three and four fall together, and all of a sudden, after hours and weeks and months or however long it takes you guys, but this is only, what is this, a 500, 300, 500 piece puzzle right here. You have this picture, and it's beautiful. But until you get the pictures together, the true beauty of the puzzle isn't seen. So a family, whether it's a nuclear blood family at home, but today I'm talking about our church family, is a beautiful picture made up of individual unique pieces that when we find our place, we have a beautiful picture. I want to share a scripture from Romans chapter 12, and this is in the Message version, so it's a little different. I don't usually use that, but I love the way this familiar passage to me is put in the Message version. It's verses 3 through 8. If you have a handout, you have that whole thing. And you'll see the whole thing scroll, and then we're going to chop it apart a little bit and put it together like a puzzle. So Paul writes this: the only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does, not by what we are and what we do for him. In this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? So since we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body, Let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. Doesn't that make a lot of sense when we talk about puzzles and fitting them together and how that works? Now, I'm the kind of guy who will find a piece that looks close and see if I can press it in. It doesn't work, right? And it throws off where the other pieces fit as well. So what can we get from this passage that helps us as a church family? You younger generation have taken some roles this morning that you don't normally take, this is as much for you, and frankly, the whole picture needs you before we can be the beautiful picture God has meant us to be. So I don't want you to tune out. I'm glad we have a fidget table if you got your fidget stuff so you can, you know, kind of occupy yourself because all the kids are with us today. Isn't that a blessing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a blessing. So, number one, if you have a handout, it answers the question, who am I? That's a big question. Now, when you're small, Cadence and Caroline probably don't think too much about this question of who am I. But I bet Carter and Lillian and Landon and Gavin and Sam and others, they're asking the question, who am I? What am I here for? Some questions like that. We talk about purpose and meaning. And Paul used those terms in the scripture we just read about having a purpose and finding a meaning. And so we see in this passage that, first of all, it's God-defined. God tells you who you are. And this verse says it's the only accurate place where we can find out who we really are. So just we pull out from that that passage. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what he does for us, not what we are and what we do for him. The truth is we don't perform for God. We don't do good so he'll like us. He likes us anyway. He loves us no matter what. And when we come to him and stick with him, he defines who we are. Who am I? He defines it. And B is that we're a part of a whole. We're not just an individual. And in our culture today, you know that the cry is about me. It's my world becomes about me. It's promoted that everything is about me. And Paul reminds us, in this way, we are like the various parts of a human body. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. So we're talking about the church, but I will say, I want to address today too, that there is a role in this picture for people who are seeking but not yet believing. There's a role, there's a belonging of a sense for you as well. So he defines who I am. That's the A and the B. I think there's a C when I turn my page. Oh, we are not alone. But as a chopped off finger or cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? Five pieces of a puzzle wouldn't amount to much. And a random drawing of five pieces out of a puzzle probably wouldn't get you five pieces that even went together. So it wouldn't be a picture of anything. It'd just be random colors and shapes. So we're not alone in discovering who we are. And C, we're made to fit in this family. Paul says, we find ourselves fashioned into all these excellently formed and marvelously functioning parts in Christ's body. Puzzle pieces, I don't know what your standard of excellence is, but excellence probably means it all works and fits together. And they're excellently and individually carved out in the family of God. There is a place for everyone. Who am I? And number two in your handout, where do I belong? So it's true, we find our definition in him, and we help to discover what that is in the family of God, the great puzzle, if you will, and we are made to be a part of it, but where in there do I belong? So Paul goes on to say, each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. Each of us finds our meaning and function as part of this body. That means if you seek on your own to figure out who am I, you won't find who you really are. You'll find something. You'll identify in some way. We all have some kind of image of ourselves, and that gets more refined. Maybe that's not the right word. Complicated is certainly applicable. As we get older, it gets more complicated in how we see ourselves and how we want to be seen by other people too. But we're discovered in community. Each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole, not the other way around. Now, keep in mind, we find where we belong by being part of this picture and family of God. But we have to remember, back to number one, that it is God's definition in the context of us being together where we find that. So there's a truth in here. We're created in God's image. The Bible tells us that. And in that image and the way he made us, we are made to be connected to one another in community. We find all sorts of kinds of communities. So your school classroom is a community. Your Sunday school class is a community. Your small group is a community. We find them wherever we go. If you're I'm a John Deere. I used to belong to the two-cylinder club, but I sold my two-cylinder. And so I'm not anymore, but that's a community. There's marketplace communities. And because we're made to find the fullness of who we are and where we fit in community, whatever community you choose will give you a definition and assign you a part. But if it's not God's family and community, it won't be the right part. The tips and the hollow, they won't line up. The picture intended to be made by all those pieces won't ever be able to be seen. That's why it's so important as we grow and change and we're faced with all sorts of different kinds of things. So young folks, you're faced with a whole different set of does my friend like me, from the youngest to then the oldest of us who find out my body's not working anymore and there's something wrong with it, and that challenges where I go to get my definition of who I am and where I go to be in a group of people to fit somewhere, because we are made to fit because God made us and he fits with us. So make sure that we choose to stay in God's family so you can find who you are and how you're shaped and where you fit to make this beautiful picture. Number three in your handout, if you have one, is what can I do then? I mean, so these things are true. I hope that you will come to that place. So I want to be clear. I'm not here to tell you what to believe. I'm here to share what I feel God says we ought to believe, but you must wrestle through it yourself and come to your belief in it, or it won't be of value to you. So I'm assuming that you can buy into this, that we're defined by God and that we find our place and our identity and our shape and where we fit by being in community and letting other people speak into that. My own journey into being a pastor is that story. I laughed at the guy who gave me an assessment and said, "You'd make a good pastor." I laughed in his face. He's still in our conference. He's actually on the MEG board. He served with Diana, our ministry, ministerial education and guidance board. But it was the confirmation, that is, the people in the family of God where I attended, and that was the Ross Common Free Methodist Church at the time, that said, "We think you would be a good leader. You would be a good pastor." I went worship leader. I was a Sunday school teacher, teens, and eventually God called me. But it took people in the family saying, "I believe God is calling you to this," to confirm in me that that was my role and my place. Well, that confirmation doesn't only happen to someone who stands in front of a pulpit and preaches or anything else. It's everyone. I believe everyone does that. We're not going to descend into a message about gifts, though I'm going to mention them, because that's just one component of it. So what can I do? So Paul ends this passage in Romans by saying, so let's just go ahead and be what we were made to be without enviously or pridefully comparing ourselves with each other or trying to be something we aren't. And so that's what we're going to do for the rest of the time together. We're going to start practicing this morning. Brenda, if you'd put that puzzle piece up there, this is the puzzle that is represented in the pieces in these two bowls. Diana said, "Why didn't you get the picture of Jesus?" And I could have done that, but two things. I wanted pieces big enough because I intend everyone to take one of these home as a reminder and to pray into who am I and where do I fit. And this is an Alzheimer puzzle, by the way. This is made for people with that, so because they're big. What was that, Ziggy?
Are you keeping that music?
I am not. So since we're all taking a piece home, we won't see that picture, but I wanted you to, without making everything so super spiritual, to understand it. Look at the, to me that's a beautiful picture. Now the John Deere doesn't have yellow rims. They're supposed to have yellow rim, Tim, right? They got that all wrong. I don't think that's an Oliver because the grill in the front's wrong. That's a John Deere, but it doesn't have the right rim. I love that scene. It's beautiful, but without all the pieces, it won't be beautiful, right? There'll be gaps and you won't be able to see the whole thing and appreciate it. So we're gonna discover together. I got a bunch of little key words written down here. First of all, I wanted to tell you I was looking forward to including the superintendent and his wife in this practicing of this fit and this discovery, but I got a call from the superintendent at 7-something when I was driving in this morning that he'd been sick all night with the flu, and so he's not here with us this morning. Pray for him, though, because he has a morning flight to Florida looking to recruit pastors for the East Michigan Conference. So he wants to make that flight, and he's praying that he'll be able to get through that. So I just wanted to let you know that they weren't there. So I asked Tony to ask kids in her, I think, at Elevate last Wednesday a question, and I had a prayer meeting. We prayed about a spirit of participation this morning. So I'm kind of like surprising this on you, except if you were here last week, you heard me ask you to think about what makes you you, what makes you special. So I just want to give a little framework. And by the way, online folks, I'm going to be moving around a little bit, and we really can't, we don't have a follow camera, so if I move off, I'm sorry, but that's one of the perks of coming in. If you're able to come in, you don't see me disappear on the screen, but I'll try to relay what you say unless somebody wants to speak. So I asked you last week to give me some identifiers of what makes you you, and why I asked that question is because discovering our fit, oftentimes in the church, we just reduce it to how has God gifted you, what can you do for us? If that's our only value in belonging to the family, that is terrible. We want to use you, and that makes you a part of the family. That's not the message I want to give. That's not the message of the gospel. The message is you belong. Part of that is that you exercise gifts God gives you. So gifts are special abilities that only you can do excellently because God helps you do them. You also have talents, things that you're naturally good at. Some people are writers. Some people draw really well. Some people can public speak without even thinking about it. There are all sorts of different kinds of things, but it's not just that either. It's who are you? So first of all, I want to let you know who served this morning that you may not be familiar with, a couple faces and names you do. So at the door, we had Sam and Gavin Pearson. Was Jace here today? Okay, Jace wasn't here. So you might have saw them with snowballs. I was praying they wouldn't throw them at anybody coming in, and I don't think they did, but they served. That's Kendra, Tony's sister's kids. They served at the door. Melva and Levi Reyes were at the door here handing out the bulletins. Now, Melva we see all the time. Levi we see on Wednesday nights, but you might not know who they are. They were part of the family doing stuff with the family today, contributing their pieces to the beautiful, the beautiful picture of the puzzle that the family of God is. Back at the fidget table, Felicia, who we pretty much know Felicia. Is she here? Oh, there you are. I was looking right at her and I didn't see her. With Sawyer, her kids, and Bella, Underwood is their last name, they were back there manning that table, so kids that normally would go out to Elevate or to nursery had something to do, because you know, I do that too. If you're ever talking to me in the office and I'm making figure eights with my thumb on my forefinger, I'm not bored. I can't help it. I have to do something with my hand. So that they were manning that table back there. Lillian and Carter, who have been a part, you know Lillian and Carter, Tony's oldest kids, were part of the praise team, and Carter did announcements this morning. And joining them was Cadence and Caroline Putnam, Colin and Hannah Bedell in the praise team. So they were the kids that were singing in the praise team, as well as the regular folks we had. And Mia came and prayed as she was introduced. So those are people who took a special part. I just want to recognize them again and thank you. Oh, Landon, that's right, because Tony didn't send me your name. I'm sorry, I do have it written in here. Landon was playing the beatbox up there in the band. So that's Tony's youngest. So anyway, thank you. We clap for Landon. Okay, that's good. So who's a part of our, I want to share one other thing. So you know we have a daycare here, WeCare. And we've made efforts to be connected with them since I've been here, and they are a part of us. They're a place where we minister to staff and families, but also a place that extends ministry to kids as staff. And when I went to my mailbox Friday before I came in Sunday morning, that's what it was, and I found this in my mailbox. It's a birthday card. Last Monday was my birthday. From one class with all their names, all these little kids made little cakes and put their little names and did happy birthdays. And they gave me a gift. All of Week Care gave me a gift card. Why do I tell you that? Because that's part of what family does for one another. And now I can't tell you how blessed I was. First I thought, oh no, what's wrong? When anything's sticking out of my mailbox, it's like, something's got to be wrong. And it was this wonderful happy birthday. We Care as a part of our family, even though they're not here. Now Star has been among us and will be again. She's had an obligation of watching some family do some sporting events that take place at the same time church. But they're a part. They play a specific role. They contribute to me. They bless my life. So that's what I'm talking about. How does who you are fit? And we're going to help each other, and this is what I envision. I'm going to ask what makes you special, and if you and we're going to ask for other people to help you understand how that fits, how that blesses, what makes that a part of our family. So who'd like to go first? I know that's a terrible question. Nobody wants to go first. Okay, I'm just going to relay this. So of the Elevate kids, did anybody answer? Oh, Cadence. Okay, I got to get closer to Cadence.
I'm special because God made me. He doesn't make mistakes.
Ooh, she's special because God made her and God doesn't make mistakes. Amen. So you get that. How many people think they're a mistake? How many people here have thought, and maybe even now think, something's wrong with me? Now, we're not perfect, that's for sure, but Caroline.
The reason why I'm special is because I'm a child of God.
She's a child of God, that makes her special. Colin, shout it out, I know you can.
I'm athletic.
You're athletic. How does that help in the church, folks? Chairs. Put the chairs away. We have to do this every Sunday. We get these chairs out and then we put them away. He helps with that. OCC shoe boxes. He and many others help carry those shoe boxes out. Lori Gettler, she is in a classroom every day, and here she's usually back here passing out the bulletins, but she had the Sunday off because of the kids were serving in that way. Not just kids, some of you adults. What makes you special? What do you bring kind of to the table, or what do you... Well, that's Brandon. He's back in the back. He's a baker and cooker. That's probably not right. Cook. and he has sung on the praise team at different times and done specials, and that's been a blessing. The food you've eaten this morning, I'll brag on my wife, and she hates that I'm doing this, but actually the Lord spoke to me this morning that I don't compliment you enough on all the lengths you go to serve people. Sometimes I complain. So forgive me and hold me accountable. I don't know what it is. That's one of those areas where I pray consistently, Lord, help me not be trapped in what my time frame ought to be and what I want to do, and give people latitude. You guys don't see the frustration, but unfortunately, she hears it.
Sing unto the Lord a new song that God put that in my family and my upbringing.
So that's Monica Hawcroft, in case you guys don't know, and Hannah's next to her, Ziggy, her father's there. They're a musical family. And not just in praise team, but sitting here and singing when they're not in praise team and rejoicing before the Lord.
I gotta say, I get blessed when I mow the lawn. Because I get to sing out there, and I didn't realize that all the kids on the playground could hear me sing. I'm singing that loud over the mower. But I get blessed when I see the kids. When I go past there, the kids are always waving to me. And Mr. Mark, and they think they can hear me, or that I can hear them when they yell at me. But I get blessed when I see the kids out here, and I stop and talk to them. I turn the mower off and talk to them, give them all high fives. I love that part of it. They are very good because if they're out playing, they move. They come back in because they know that I don't want them out there near the mower.
So that's Mark Fernelius, for you guys who didn't hear a word of that. He's our grounds guy and mows, and he is blessed, he said, as he mows and interacts with kids on the playground. Although they could be calling you names, you wouldn't know it, right? But that's okay. I meant to give everyone who shared a piece of this, and then I'm going to invite you all at the end to come and take a piece home with you. I'm a big believer in tokens, remembrances, something that helps you remember, because we have an enemy that doesn't want us to think we're special or that we fit or that we have a place in anything good. And sometimes, I mean, I have in my office, I have rocks. I have all sorts of tokens that I've used to see Colin. Oh, Lori, could you pass that down to Lori? Don't keep it now, Dennis.
And they come up and they give me a hug around them. They're just, it's so precious. And to me, that makes my day. So I'm so grateful for those little ones that just, I mean, it just blesses me so much.
Diana is blessed by the We Care kids who we see every day. Diana is also our administrative assistant and works in the office, and so she's here as I am every day, and we get to see that. So those little kids that come up, I already gave you a piece. You don't get two, you only get one. Here, this is a part of the tractor. I want to put this in my pocket, but I'm giving you a part of the tractor.
I think you need to hear from the older people.
Yes.
The older generation. But I served the church in many ways down at our old church and served here in many different ways. Older, a lot of things change. And God uses us both in ministry, in our neighborhood, in the church in different ways. Sometimes it's just a hug.
Amen.
Just give people a word.
Amen.
It's very special to us. And every time we walk in the door, we feel the Lord. And however he wants to use us, that's how we want to be used. So, and Mark, sing loud. Singing loud calms you down and makes you feel better.
So that's Vicki Collins, who's talked about previous servings in different ways in the church, and now that's changed. Before we go to Ziggy, I was hoping this would come up. So people who are young, not just young at heart, remind us the role that our seniors who aren't able to be involved in more active ministry, why are they valuable in the family? Encouragers. We are encouraged by the journey of people who have gone through way more than we have. What else?
Wisdom.
That only happens over time.
Prayer. I gotta say, Vicki is a prayer warrior. She and my mom and Diane Jordan and some other ladies, if it wasn't for their prayers, I would not be a Christian today. I wouldn't be. Because on
So they've developed a discipline of prayer. I hope you're all praying, but over time we understand the value of how to cultivate that and spend time in prayer. So let's go the other way around. Older generations, why do we need kids? What do they bring to us? Dan. So Danny shares with us that this is about legacy. This is about seeing fruit in family. So he has all his grandkids who participated in this day, and that helps us see the truth of what God called us to do, and that is to pass down what we have experienced and see our younger generation. Colin? Okay, so he's speaking for his own age group. That's right, you're slave labor. That's why we have kids here. That's all we want. No. New perspectives. Folks, I've forgotten what it's like to think like a child. But they remind us. And what does the Bible say about that perspective? The perspective of children, that's who owns the kingdom of heaven as followers, people who have the perspective of kids. Jill. That was Jill Bedell. Colin, come on. Oh, I'm sorry. I said thank you.
I'm a grandfather, and I didn't have anything to do with it. Special grandfather. Tuesday, every Tuesday.
Do you care to elaborate?
Well, for 3 years now, maybe four, we've been eating at Telly's. But that was too far for me to drive, so I thought I'd let the young man do the driving, so he's driving out to Linden every Tuesday. And he has got no problem getting food. I can always give him my meal. And only we have a real big problem. They want to take our thing away from us because we play pool, and we eat lunch, and we play pool. Now, the management thinks they can butt in on that pool room and eliminate it and put a class in it. Now there's three things going on there. There's a lady does a puzzle there, I read a book over there, and we play pool. There's three items going on in that room, and they want to close it down. And it's not right. So just play that. I mean, are we less important than other groups?
Of course not. So Ziggy's being a grandparent to someone who's not their grandson.
Micah wasn't there, and they missed him.
Good.
Because he's really good at talking to old people. Oh. He always has been.
Let me ask you this. What value, maybe that's not the right concept. What do people who don't know Jesus yet, who come and share our time with us, what do they add to this picture? So I'm thinking like a pastor, so maybe only a couple of people.
She has the reputation of being a sweet lady. Wow. Amanda said it, and I believe it.
Okay. They bring new life. In what way do they bring new life? This is about our outward thinking. We really need, because this picture, here's the deal. When you're done with the puzzle, it's done. But in the family of God, it's growing. And the picture is adding more beauty to it. How does that work through people who are unbelievers, who may be in our midst, maybe watching, maybe right now? Okay, they bring life, that newness, because we do. Churches tend to become not closed exactly, though some can do that, but familiar. We know each other. We see each other.
I was going to say back to some kids, just
That's you, your specific friendliness and positive. If you've ever talked to Vicky over on this side of the church, you know that. She's very positive and very friendly and always a good word to say. I would remind and submit to you this, that when unbelievers come in and they're a part of our worship or an event we have, if we are following the heart of Jesus and given the space to do it, they ask questions we don't think about. Because sometimes we get to the place where we feel like we've answered all the questions. And maybe, probably often, questions that unbelievers ask are already answered and we know those answers, but a lot of the times they make us think, why would I give the answer I want to give them? What do I believe and why do I believe it? I don't know how you feel, but that challenges me when I talk with unbelievers and I mean, once they find out I'm a pastor, like the game's over, but you know, when they ask questions about who God is and how he could be here in light of the rottenness of the world, I want to know what I believe in and why. I don't want to have a litany of a list of saying I believe in ABC. I want to know what difference it makes. And that unbelief, we need to give them space to do that. Some of the subjects we're wrestling with in culture right now, we have been guilty, not we, us here, but the church in general has been guilty of trying to say, don't ask questions about that. We're just going to give you a solution and just believe it. We need to work through with them. God's truth stands up to questioning. We need that.
Can I say something else?
Sure.
I was looking at my piece of the puzzle, okay? I'm looking at the puzzle. I can see exactly where my piece fits. And hopefully everybody will know where they fit and what they can do. I think of Dan and Karen have been part of 45 years. It's been a long time. And I look at the picture up there, and maybe the sky, people might not know if they have that puzzle piece where it fits in, but it does fit. They're not sure where they're going to fit in, and they're not sure what kind of ministry they have, but they do have a part in that. Karen knows exactly where hers fits. She's one of the geese up there, and above the tree.
So, how can we then, since Paul is very clear in saying that we help one another, what are some of the things we can do to help people find their place?
Encourage.
Spend time with them. Reflect.
Ask.
So anyone who serves on a regular team and does a regular, you ought to be not deluging any visitor, but I mean, at an appropriate time when someone, we see that someone is kind of investigating us as a place that could be their family and their home, we should say, hey, I'm in this team. You could be a part of it too. So that means we have to be modeling what we do in the church consistently. And that's one of the values of this whole family structure. The Bible talks about the fact that old men and women are supposed to mentor younger men and women. And of course, that gets filtered down to children. And so we're all following a common journey that God calls us to. Okay, I think this is a good place. I know that Diana and some others of you were elf passer outers last fall and going into December, and that's an opportunity to talk to people. One other thing about this, I talked to you about me wanting to press in what doesn't fit, But sometimes it's so close, right? So we try it. And then we go, nah, that's not the right fit. Let's keep looking. I've said this before. If you're new here, you've never heard this from me, but we have a policy of permission to fail. As you talk about trying to find out where your giftedness lies, where God has called you to actually serve. We do want you to serve, but that's not all we want you to do. And that is, sometimes you just put your piece in a place that might feel close and try it. And it might not work, and that's okay. We take that piece, you take your own piece, and you go, I need to try it somewhere else. So you see the combination we have. God has set this whole thing up in his wonder and glory and grace, his wisdom, his love for us to find fulfillment in this life as much as that's possible. And there are a lot of things. The last series we finished last week was about that troubled side. And then he does his role as an individual. I do my role as a family. We feed in to share in to encourage and help lead people along. And we place people in the picture, and it's a beautiful picture. And who wouldn't, unless you like Picasso, who wouldn't love and just feel warmth looking at that picture? And that's exactly what God says we are to the world. We're a picture that when they look at us functioning the way God says we ought to function, it's beautiful and it's compelling, it's drawing. If somebody wants to come near, I want to get right on top of that tractor and clutch that lever in and let's get it going. That's what we are in the world, because we're a family and you have a part in this family. Now, you might get discouraged. You might run across one of us on any given day who's had a bad day and doesn't support you the way they should. We are very honest about our humanity in this place. Keep going. Because we'll help. We want to see you find fulfillment in part of this beautiful picture. And so our last scripture of the day, from the Living Bible, Ephesians 4:16. This is kind of a statement of what this looks like when we're about this process, because it is a process. Under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly, and each part in its own special way helps the other parts so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That's what we want to be. That's what we are, and that's what we want to be. So a praise team, you're going to come up, and I'm going to pray and close with the doxology. When at the end of the service, now I know I could make this easy and put these things in the back, but I want you to come up and grab a puzzle piece if it is of value to you to remember. I'm not requiring this. I'm not filming it so I know, but if this is valuable, don't just go out. Come up here and grab a puzzle piece and pray, Lord, help me find my place. Now, one more thing before I pray, and that to let you know that Jack and Judy, this is their last Sunday with us on a regular basis. Maybe they'll come and visit once in a while, but their house is sold. They're getting ready to move. If you haven't had a chance to say goodbye to them or you want one more chance, make sure you grab them before you get out of here today. Let's pray together. And would you stand as we do that? Lord, we thank you for the imagery of a beautiful picture. And your clear explanation that everyone has a part. Sadly, there are some people who will never come near enough to find out that that's true. And we pray for those folks who have never made a decision to follow you and make you their Savior and Lord. And we pray that you would urge them now to do that, whether they or here watching online Sunday morning or some other time, or in some other means you get the message to them. We pray for all of the lost world, but we pray for our lost community of Linden, Fenton, and surrounding areas, that they would come to you. But to Lord, as people who do believe in you, hearing lots of voices from lots of groups that want to tell us who we are and where we fit in their scheme, we pray for protection. And we pray, Lord, that you would tune our ears into the sound of your voice and into the the help that the family gives us as we're seeking to know what you want us to do with our lives as a whole life and as individual events and things that happen in our life, because you have direction for us. But I also thank you, Lord, that your plan for us to fit in a beautiful picture is unlike a puzzle, in that you didn't make it to confuse us. You didn't make it that way to make us have to work so hard. It's because there's sin in the world that makes that hard. You actually have made it easy, and that simplicity still stands there. It is simply, as you say to us, come to me and I'll help you find your place. I'll put you in the right place so you can have purpose and meaning, as well as having a beautiful picture in an ugly world. Help us, Lord, as a church family, to be what you want us to be as the beautiful picture you've placed here, and we commit all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.